The readings for today's Mass. The epistle is taken from the first to the Thessalonians, chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. Brethren, we pray and beseech you in the Lord Jesus that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so also you would walk, that you may abound the more. For you know what precepts I have given to you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles that know not God, and that no man overreach nor deceive his brother in business, because the Lord is the avenger of all these things, as we have told you before and have testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto sanctification in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The Gospel is taken from St. Matthew, chapter 17, verses 1 to 9. At that time, Jesus took Peter and James and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his garments became white as snow. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elias talking with him. And Peter answering said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. And as he was yet speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And lo, a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Disciples hearing fell upon their face and were very much afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said to them, Arise and fear not. And they, lifting up their eyes, saw no one but only Jesus. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man till the Son of Man be risen from the dead. So please take a seat. Take note that on the back page of the bulletin, the Holy Week schedule is posted. This year for Palm Sunday, we will have low masses at 7:30 and 9 a.m. The blessing of palms and processions will begin at 10:30 a.m. so that all those who attend the 9 o'clock and who can participate in the blessing of palms and procession. The high mass will follow afterwards. Holy Thursday, there will be a solemn High Mass at 7 p.m. thanks to Father Munkelt and Father Barone. And again on Good Friday, the solemn High Mass, or rather at 3 p.m., we will be able to have a solemn High Mass thanks once again to both the good priests. Holy Saturday, Easter Vigil, will begin at 12 noon. Thank you very much for your generosity for the Institute's provincial appeal. Some envelopes are still coming in, but so far, or rather last week, we were able to collect more than $5,000 to help the Institute in its apostolic work. Thank you all once again. Please take note that next Friday of the month, the Stations of the Cross will begin at 6:30 p.m. Father Barone has been kind enough to lend us a... Therefore, at the end of the stations, there will be a veneration of the relic of the True Cross at the Communion Rail before Low Mass for First Friday begins at 7 p.m. The next day, Saturday, the 2nd of March, there will be a morning of recollection after the 9 a.m. Mass. The topic will have to do with St. Joseph in the month of March, since it is the month of St. Joseph. I did not put the topic in the bulletin, but as usual, after Low Mass, there will be a breakfast, the talk, then exposition of the Blessed Sacrament. All of you are welcome. The Holy Name Society is collecting donations for Our Lady of the Valley Soup Kitchen in Orange, New Jersey. Donations can be placed by their banner downstairs in the social hall. And take note that on March 10th this year, we will have a St. Joseph table, which will take place from after the 9 a.m. Mass and continue on into the afternoon. Please participate, one and all. And also, the last thing to note is that Mass intention books are still open. Canon Bovey and also Father Munkelt are available to say private Masses, so don't hesitate to give in your Mass intentions. Dates cannot be fixed for private Masses ahead of time, but the Masses will be said. Non enim vocavit nos Deus in immunditiam, sed in sanctificationem, in Christo Jesu, Domino nostrum. For God holiness, but unto holiness in Christ Jesus our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Very dear faithful, on this Holy Mass, the Transfiguration of our Lord. This is the second time during Lent that we hear this passage taken from the Gospel according to St. Matthew. In fact, today's Gospel is the same as the one for yesterday's Mass. If Holy Mother Church proposes the same text 2 days in a row, it is not because of a paucity of texts in the Bible, but like our Mother, she wants us to learn something, and she's teaching it to us with insistence. One historical reason for this rather unusual choice of having the same Gospel passage 2 days in a row is that ordinations to all levels, especially the priesthood, would happen on the Ember Saturday of Lent, which was yesterday. As such, yesterday would have been a day of particular fasting and abstinence, because it was both an Ember Day, and as was the habit, Catholics would pray and fast for those being ordained. These ordinations would be in the evening of the Ember Saturday and would often end early in the morning of Sunday due to the sheer number of men being ordained. Hence, the Gospel chosen would be the Sunday Gospel, and all those who were present, who had been fasting, could finally break their fast much before sunrise on Sunday morning. Today, this has given us the reason for the practice in many churches where the extraordinary form is not observed, for the Saturday afternoon Mass to count as the Sunday Mass. In former times, however, it was the exception and not the rule. In the readings of Matins, yesterday and today, St. Leo says that our Lord wanted to give us the goal of our journey here below. Having just spoken of his upcoming sacrifice, our Lord knew that most of his disciples would lose courage and abandon him. Given how terrible a suffering the crucifixion was, for everyone strengthened by faith, it is to be expected that he would want to have no part in it. It is understandable that they would give in to despair before the gruesome scene of the crucifixion of a beloved friend. At Mount Tabor, so that they would to increase and strengthen their faith. The three privileged disciples are Peter, who will receive the keys to the kingdom, James, the son of thunder and the first martyr, and John, his brother and the beloved disciple of our Lord. Our Lord appeared in the fullness of his glory before them, in fulfillment of his promise that they would not see death until they had seen the Son of Man in his kingdom. This manifestation of the divinity of our Lord should have been fresh in the minds of these three disciples a few days later at Calvary. A little earlier in the same Gospel, St. Peter had declared boldly to Jesus, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." The manifestation of the divinity of our Lord at Mount Tabor should have confirmed for the three chosen disciples that Jesus Christ is man and God, two natures in one person. Here the evangelist tells us that his face did shine as the sun and his garments became white as snow. Jesus had revealed to them only a little of his glory, because no human creature could have been able to bear the complete vision. St. Peter, in his excitement, proposed that Jesus, Moses, and Elijah stay on earth in three tents. But his proposal was interrupted by a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." And that was the end of the vision. This should bring us to understand something of the closeness of this union between the Father and the Son. St. Leo insists on this point. The work of our redemption was done by the Christ in union with the Father. Glory is the fruit of grace. Since our Lord possesses grace to an infinite degree, he has an infinite glory. In heaven, his transfiguration is permanent and eternal. We too can enjoy some of this when we strive to be in a state of grace. As long as we persevere, grace transforms us from glory to glory until one day it brings us to the beatific vision. It is important that we persevere in doing good, because while grace transfigures, sin disfigures. Grace enlightens, while sin darkens. In fact, we ask God for five specific blessings. We ask for the blessing of deliverance, the blessing of grace, a blessing of contemplation, and finally, that of glory. In this world, we be delivered from our vices, our sins, and evil spirits. Once we are delivered, we are ready for grace. And in today's episode, we make the second request of our Lord. This transfiguration of our souls cannot be realized without suffering. The gradual and tract point out the work and suffering that we will have to undergo for this change. On Mount Tabor, Moses and Elijah spoke to our Lord about his passion when they appeared with him. Our Lord so chose to be like us that he could take the opportunity at Mount Tabor to teach us through his disciples that it is impossible for him as well as for us to reach the glory of our transfiguration without suffering. What has been disfigured by sin cannot regain its supernatural beauty without a purifying suffering. The transfiguration was a consolation to strengthen the faith of the disciples. In his desire to have this consolation continue for as long as possible, St. Peter proposed to put up three tents. This is the folly of many of us in the spiritual life. We feel that something is wrong, or that we are doing something wrong when trouble befalls us. An end in themselves. It is foolish and even futile to desire them or to try and retain them for our own satisfaction. Joy, whether material or spiritual, should not be sought for itself. In heaven, when we possess God, joy will necessarily be a part of our life. But here on earth, we must see it as a means. The consolations that God gives us are not for our entertainment, but for our encouragement, for our strengthening. A consolation given to us from time to time so that we can give ourselves to the service of God with greater generosity. We are in good company if we forget this lesson. Soon after, in fact a few days after the transfigurations, the apostles themselves lost courage when they saw our Lord being led to his crucifixion and they forgot to pray. If they had prayed, they would have had the courage of our Lord, and they would have had the courage to accompany him all the way to his death on the cross. So if we forget, we too are not in bad company. But let us continue. When the vision disappeared, the disciples saw only our Lord, Nisi Solum Yesu, and with him alone, they came down the mountain. This is how it should be for us as well. We must not seek anything more than what God wants to give us. In fact, we do not need to envy the apostles on Mount Tabor. We have more than what they received. The transfiguration symbolizes the Mass in so many ways. God in his glory on the altar. The law and the prophets attest that the sacrifice of the Mass is the perfection of all that they prefigured and predicted. At the transfiguration, Moses and Elijah spoke of the death of our Lord, which is also sacramentalized in the Mass. More than the apostles, we are not the glorified body of our Lord, but through Holy Communion, we can take part in his glorification. The Eucharist is for us the greatest of means to come to the transfiguration of our soul. By it we erect this tent, or rather this temple of eternity, where we will be reunited with Jesus, Moses and Elijah forever. Jesus and Jesus alone should suffice for us. Everything else, consolations, helps, friendships, even spiritual ones, understanding, esteem, encouragement, they may be good to the extent that God permits us to enjoy them, often to encourage us in our weaknesses. But when it pleases him to remove them, we should not be upset or disturbed. It is precisely at these times that we can prove to him that he is our all, that he alone suffices. This is the moment to give God one of our best proofs of love, faithfulness, trust, and perseverance in our resolutions. The soul may be in darkness, that is, it may be misunderstood, bitter in material and spiritual solitude and desolation. But this is the time to remember Jesus alone, Nisi Solum Yesu, and to come down from Mount Tabor with him, to follow him to Mount Calvary, where he will suffer, abandoned not only by men, but also by his Father. The third, fourth, and fifth blessings, an increase of grace, contemplation, and glory, cannot be obtained without a struggle. Our Lord gives us every reason to be of good armor of his virtues and with the sword of his word. In imitation of our Lord, we too should prepare to die. We must die to ourselves. To know how to do this, we should turn to the apostle, to the Gentiles. St. Paul explains to us in today's epistle that we must renounce all our immoral, impure, and unjust desires. In short, to obtain eternal life, we must be ready to die the daily death of renouncing our wills and accepting our Lord commands us to accomplish perfectly our daily duties here below so that we can merit heaven. Even before the resurrection, St. Peter understood to whom he should go for help to repent his denial of our Lord. So let us learn from our first Pope, Ad Jesum Per Maria, to Jesus through Mary. Let us turn to Our Lady and place ourselves in her motherly gaze, seeking from the mediatrix of graces the help we need to reject our past sins, repent, and turn to the Gospel. Let us stay with Our Lady of Sorrows at the foot of the cross, learning from her to gaze upon our crucified Lord. There, while under the mantle of her protection, We can learn from her to keep with us our experience of Tabor, from the Holy Mass all through the day while we go about our daily lives. We will the preparation of our Lord at the daily Mass, His presence in our souls after we receive communion will be the source of strength that we need to carry our crosses according to our duties of state, while keeping all of the commandments that He has given us. Let us not forget the role of Our Lady in all of our spiritual labors and during our daily rosary, so that we are in the company of our Lord. O Mary, Mother of Sorrows, help of Christians, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.